Have you heard any promising news lately? I guess it all depends on who you're listening to. Since I have your ear right now, let me tell you some promising news. Actually, it's not from me, it's from God. This is what our scripture readings today are about. The Bible is about the story of God's inviting people into a relationship of promise and life and love. The promise that comes from God usually sounds something like this: do not be afraid. It almost always starts this way. Do not be afraid. Yep, it's me, God. I'm for you. I'm with you. I love you. You are mine, and I'm going to do something really great for you. At the same time, I want you to promise that you will love me, trust me, honor and obey me, and be true to everything I tell you. Have you ever heard such an inner voice? This is what God actually says to every single one of us and to every single human being in and through Jesus, God's Christ. God said it earlier through Abraham and Moses and the prophets. Now, in the fullness of time, God has said it fully and finally in Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord. The biblical word for this divine invitation into a relationship of promise and love and life is covenant. Our liturgy today is about living as a people of God's promise. The goal of our lessons this Sunday is for us to listen and hear the promise that God has made and accomplished for us in Jesus and to live in His way. It always begins with listening and with hearing. So as I struggle to faithfully and quietly pray my daily office every morning, I keep having these phrases from the Psalms leap out at me. Do not fret yourself. It leads only to evil. Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Take delight in the Lord and He will bring it to pass. Do not fret yourself. I know I already said this one, but I really like that one. Be still and know that I am God. Abraham knew all of these things. From a place of deep, inner quiet in his life, Abraham perceived and heard the voice of God inviting him into a relationship of promise and of life and of love. The promise that comes from God, as Abraham discovered, is always something that sounds totally, utterly, and completely impossible. Only in knowing at the very core and center and heart of your being that this voice, this invitation, this promise is coming from the only true and real and living God can the promise be believed. The promise that came to Abraham when he and his wife Sarah were way beyond the age of childbearing was that he and Sarah were going to become the parents of many nations, numbering as many as the stars in the sky. Utterly and absolutely impossible, crazy, unbelievable. Yet Abraham came to believe what he heard from God, and the scriptures say, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. In the gospel today, we see Jesus lamenting over people who just would not listen. He came to bring healing and life, to enable God's promise to be realized in human lives, and most people would not listen to him. Sometimes we don't listen either. When we refuse to come to grips and start dealing with our bad habits, our addictions, and the many loves that we have that are way lesser than good or godly, when we begin to comprehend the enormous cost that would come to us if we act on what God is saying to us. We think our own way is a little more comfortable and easy, living for number one, glorying in our own accomplishments, and giving to others just as much as we think we might be able to afford, rather than Jesus' way of suffering, sacrificing, self-giving, genuine love. Yet to live our own way rather than Jesus' way is to live a lie, not a promise. It is, as Paul once put it, to live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, there's nothing easy about believing that the only way to real life, to true life, to full and joyful life is the way of suffering, sacrificial love that takes us straight into dying and death. It sounds and it looks so utterly and absolutely impossible until you come to know in the very core and heart and center of your being that this word, this promise, this invitation is from the only true and living God who is pure love. In Jesus and the glory of his resurrection, we come to see this and to know this. By his resurrection, we see how much more than just another prophet is this Jesus. He didn't mince his words with the secular authorities, that fox Herod, or with the religious authorities, you hypocrites in whitewashed tombs. Yet in all of his words and all of his deeds, he was in complete and full accord with God's purpose of caring for and nurturing people in love. So he looks over the city of Jerusalem, and he laments, and he weeps, and he says, "Oh, how I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." Now, there's nothing easy about living a life of God's promise. It probably means that you're going to get crucified. No wonder we're so often not willing. It does indeed take faith like Abraham's to believe that God will never forsake you when you're feeling totally, utterly, and completely forsaken. To believe that God will heal you and you're living with a terminal illness. To believe that God will bring you to abundant life when the only thing you can see and experience right now is violence and war and destruction and death. Yet in this Jesus, we come to see and know the Christ who is with us and for us in our darkest and deepest experiences of despair, and who has triumphed over all the power of evil and of the grave. It is never God who sends disease and disaster and destruction and death. These things come to people, even and especially to innocent victims, because we, with generations before us, have not been willing to live our part of God's gracious invitation into this relationship of promise and love and life. Yet the promise and the invitation never go away. They are constantly, constantly coming to us and with us. We gather around that promise here today, around the crucified and risen one. And it begins freshly every day with, again, trying to listen and to hear. So did you hear some of Paul's words in the letter to the Philippians this morning that wonderfully expresses part of what this promise is about? Our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the humiliation of this body to be conformed to the likeness of his glorious body. Wow. This is God's promise. To believe it is power. It's power to live in Jesus' way, in the way of the cross, which is life for everybody who says yes to God's gracious invitation. Amen.